You're in shock, Mr. Paris.
I'm okay.
Sit in the car for a few minutes.
I'm all right, really.
Let's not take any chances. We'll wrap this around you. Keep yourself warm.
As I'm never likely to run a marathon, I accepted DCI Naylor's offer of a silver space blanket. Wrapped up like a Christmas turkey, I fumbled for the quarter of bells I keep for emergencies. Emergencies like finding actors shot through the forehead.
How are you feeling now, Mr. Paris? Up to answering a few questions?
I could murder a cup of tea. I'm obviously not murder.
We'll make you one down at the station.
Station. Right. Yeah, sure.
You say you weren't close to Mr. Polizzi?
Well, we'd only just started working together.
And yet he called you for help. Why would he do that?
Well, we got on reasonably well.
I'd get on reasonably well with my chief super, but I wouldn't call her at 2 a.m.
Well, actors are like that. You meet in the morning, by the afternoon you're in bed together.
You're saying you had a sexual relationship with Mr. Polizzi?
In bed professionally. No, that sounds wrong. Start again. We strike up instant friendships because we're quickly thrown into intimate situations.
You say your phone rang at...
About 25 to 2.
And then what happened?
I told DCI Naylor how Ken Polizzi had gone on an all-day bender and how we'd rehearsed so late without him that Danny Fitz had put me up in his B&B. Finally, I told her how Ken phoned me, sounding desperate.
So, you traipsed all the way across Margate in the early hours for a man you hardly knew?
Yeah, but I knew he'd been drinking, and I knew he shouldn't have been.
He told you he had a drink problem?
I said we'd get personal quickly, but Ken's personal problems are well known. He talks about them on chat shows.
Can you think of any reason why he might have started to drink again?
Well, he was in the middle of a messy divorce.
We're trying to contact his wife.
She's here.
His wife's in Margate?
Well, ex-wife. Except she's not ex because they weren't yet divorced, but I suppose now he's dead, she is his ex. Sorry, it's been a long day. Her name's Electra and she's staying at the Grand.
Thank you, Mr. Paris. You've been very helpful. I think we can let you get some sleep now, although we may want to ask you a few more questions.
I managed to claw back a couple of hours' kip at Danny's place till the cloyingly beautiful smell of a full English eased me out of a deep slumber.
Tomato, mushroom, sausage, bacon and eggs in the warmer. Help yourself.
I've died and gone to heaven.
Binging on cholesterol, I filled Danny in on the breaking news. For the first few minutes he kept up an appearance of genuine shock. Then the survival instinct kicked in.
Well, that cinders up the swanny.
Well, not necessarily.
Oh, come on, Charles. Ken was a star attraction. Without him, they'll cut their losses.
That was delicious. If I wasn't so drearily binary, I'd propose marriage.
You're too late.
I didn't know you'd tied the knot.
Last year.
Congratulations.
He cooked your breakfast.
Well, he's a definite keeper.
Oh, don't you worry about that. You'd better ring your agent.
What about you?
Oh, at least we've got a few guests booked in for winter breaks. They'll pay more than Panto. Oh, that's stage management's number. Tenor says we're out on our asses.
If you're right, I can't afford a tenor.
Danny held on to his tenor, for the time being at least. The plug hadn't been pulled, but the show was on life support. With rehearsals suspended, I returned to London and got back to find Francis putting on a brave phone face.
I picked up something Ukrainian from the corner shop.
What a wonderful surprise!
That was a nice greeting.
Shh! No. It's just Charles walking in.
Who is it?
Oh, yes, they'll love it. I think it's a great idea, Miles.
Oh, God.
Husband to my daughter, father to my grandchild, Miles was the son-in-law I'd never wanted.
No, don't be silly. Of course I don't mind.
Francis wasn't in the business, but this performance would give any actor a run for their money.
Don't worry, I won't let on. Mum's the word.
OK, Miles. Thanks for letting me know. Bye.
Everything all right?
Uh-huh.
Do I take it they're not coming for Christmas?
Uh-huh.
And you're okay with that? Francis?
Just popping into the other room.
I'll open the,
Self-centred! Self-satisfied! Puffed up! Pompous! Control-freaky! Monkey-ass prig!
Yeah. Crimean Calvados?
Hit me. Again.
Going for the hat trick?
Definitely.
Cheers.
The one time I decide to really make the effort to get the whole family together. Juliet knew what I was trying to arrange.
But does she know what Miles is doing?
It's a surprise. Christmas in St. Lucia. The king of grand gestures strikes again.
Super Dad found a few quid down the back of the sofa.
Bonus. Last year, skiing in Closters. The year before, they stayed with his friend, the Laird of Mug.
Next year, the International Space Station.
When we're dead, Olive won't have any memories of family Christmases.
Well, she's welcome to mine.
That was your family. My childhood Christmases were fun.
As Frances described her wonderful past life, a frank Capra melancholy began to set in.
Come on, Frances, we'll be around a few years yet.
Oh, don't come on, Pollyanna, with me.
I've always had a sunny disposition.
Obscured by heavy rain and cloud. What child wants Christmas in the Caribbean?
A Caribbean child?
I bet she'd prefer a stocking at the end of the bed.
Providing it's packed with $3,000's worth of high-end tech.
Olive's not like that. She'd much rather go to a carol concert.
This isn't the Box of Delights. Kids don't want the Bishop of Tatchester popping around with the Punch and Judy man, and the parents wouldn't let him in unless they'd been CRB checked.
All I wanted was a traditional Christmas. Drink fizz before breakfast. Immolated turkey. Trip to the Panto.
Just don't book tickets for mine.
What have you done?
Nothing, apart from finding our star dead on the beach.
What? Why didn't you say?
I didn't want to interrupt the ghost of Christmas's past.
That's shocking.
You're telling me.
It definitely wasn't your fault.
No, Frances, it wasn't. I found the poor sod on the beach with a bullet through his head. Crimean Calvados.
No, it's starting to change my colour perception.
The label looks kosher.
Like you read Cyrillic. It probably says medical use only.
Well, medical sounds healthy. Merry Christmas.
I hate Christmas.
You love it.
Not anymore. It's ruined.
Oh, come on. Go and run yourself a bath. I'll make something to eat.
I'm not hungry.
As I didn't have a seaside B&B to see me through the hard times, I took Danny's advice, rang my agent and left a message. And then another message. And another. And another. The next day, I decided on a course of direct action.
Sandwich for Mr. Skellen.
It's too early for lunch.
Don't be ungrateful. There are agents starving in this world.
How the hell did you get past reception?
A baseball cap and a courier bag get you in anywhere these days.
Oh, my God. Lycra shorts.
Frances wears these to the gym.
There goes 10 years' therapy.
I must say, I feel not unpleasantly contained.
Please.
You know, I'm all about the bass, no treble. I got that boom, boom, that oldie boys
this
chase.
This is a glass
all the
office.
Right junk in all the right places.
Stop digging about before I'm sick or my staff sue me.
Sausage baguette.
After what I've just seen.
You got to eat, Mo. What about a falafel wrap?
Just wrap yourself.
Here's the deal. I've got a pair of trousers in the bag. I'll put them on when and only when you tell me why you haven't answered any of my calls.
I hate to disabuse you, but I do have other clients.
They'll be the ones who get all the work.
They're the ones who can hold down a job without a colleague unaccountably dying.
You heard.
Charles Paris, stage name the Angel of Death. And while you're thinking of a riposte, I was actually about to call you.
Of course you were.
I was, and with glad tidings.
What?
Trousers first. Over the shorts, Charles!
All right.
Sorry, Pixie. Are you trying to get me sued for inappropriate behaviour in the workplace?
What's wrong with this generation? I spent most of the 1970s acting in the nude.
I still have nightmares about your Winslow boy.
Were you this prudish at school?
I was excused nakedness.
There. Happy?
Thank you. So, I had a call from your producers, and wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, Cinderella lives.
Yes.
There's more. Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Drop the jeopardy and cut to the chase.
They want you to take over Baron Hardup.
You're kidding.
That's what I said.
Shyster.
Before I reassured them, they couldn't have found a better replacement for Ken.
Oh.
At late notice.
I really hate you sometimes.
Only sometimes. Our late sessions must be working.
Just tell me if the money rises with the billing.
Oh, imagine the beaming faces of kiddies in the front row. You'll be making their Christmas. Isn't that reward enough? All right, Charles, I'll see what I can do.
And while you're at it, I still haven't been paid for that BBC poetry reading 7 months ago.
You do know there are people who'd give their right arm for your job.
Not if it was being twisted by an agent like you.
What about my falafel wrap?
I'll buy you another one when you've negotiated a raise.
By the time rehearsals resumed, the sets were up. So while dance rehearsals continued at the church hall, the actors moved onto the stage. Stepping into the Baron's slippers, I also inherited his understudy and, more importantly, his dressing room.
Scotch in the drawer. Wine in the fridge. Home sweet home.
Yep.
You busy?
Just running my lines. Having risen from the ranks of constructed reality, Tad's first real acting job was as Nausea, one of Cinderella's ugly sisters.
Nice room, bruv.
Yeah.
I'm sharing with Danny.
Probably a bigger room.
Smaller?
Oh. Well, they like to put the dames in the same dressing room. It's a theatrical tradition.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Absolute cobblers made up on the hoof to stop the boy eyeing my dressing room like a wounded puppy with low self-esteem.
So, shot through the head.
Ken.
Bummer.
One way of putting it.
Makes you think.
A new and disconcerting experience for Tad.
Like, one day you're alive, next day, poof.
It's a chastening thought.
Which one's chastening?
Makes you think.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I thought it merited repeating. Well, I suppose I better get on.
You've done all right out of it?
Out of what?
Bigger part, bigger dressing room.
Sorry?
Just saying.
Are you saying you think I shot Ken?
Nah, why? Did you?
No!
Cool.
Not cool, not at all cool to suggest I'd commit murder for a part in a dressing room.
You gotta admit it, it is nice in here, bruv.
Not shoot a bloke in the head nice.
Just saying.
Well, stop saying.
It's not just me.
What do you mean?
Social media.
People are talking about me on the internet.
The internet?
What?
I'd like the way old people said it.
I am not... What are people saying?
You know what happened, who done it.
They better not be saying I done it.
Nah, well, Thummer.
There are laws.
There are laws. Oh, I loved it when you go posh.
I am not posh, I'm RP.
Oh, I'm an atheist.
God help me. Look, Tad, if some trolls are saying I shot Ken for a part in a bloody panto...
They're saying other stuff too, like it was a mafia hit.
In Margate?
Come on, Polizzi. You do the maths.
A, it's not maths, and B, an Italian name does not automatically mean mafia.
Who knows the ways of the Cosa Nostra? Just putting it out there.
Do yourself a favour and take it back in.
Paris, Mr. Fitz, Mr. Mullish, to the stage, please.
Well. Girls, 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 what on earth's all the noise?
Over there! A big, horrible thing!
That's no way to talk about your sister.
Not me!
Well, spit it out.
The ghost!
Ghost? There's no such thing as ghosts.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, no, there isn't. Walk down stage, talk to audience. Did you see a ghost, girls and boys? Blah, 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 blah. I can't hear you.
Taking over Baron Hardup meant more scenes with Danny's ugly sister, and it was sheer joy watching a panto master doing what he did best.
One double bells, one packet dry salted.
Thanks.
Nasty old business the other night.
Yeah.
You were in here with him lunchtime.
We've got a good memory.
I remember he was hammered.
Were you still working in the evening?
I was, as it goes. Why?
I just wondered if he came back in with anyone else.
I don't think so. Hang on. Shelley! Shelley! That young cactuar got shot. Did he come back the other night?
Nah.
And she'd have remembered because she loved him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Proper fancied the nuts off him.
You put me off my dry salted.
Hey, do you know anything about that mad bint leaving flowers and whatnot all over town?
Gloria?
Is that her name?
Ken Polizzi's biggest fan.
Well, mad as a box of frogs, if you ask me.
Psychiatry's loss was hospitality's gain.
She come in, bold as brass, asked me if I'd rename the saloon the Ken Polizzi Lounge.
I take it you said yes.
Charles, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Kitty.
Kitty.
From the chorus?
Kitty, sorry. I've got a terrible memory.
Oh, it's all right. We don't get to see the actors unless we're doing a number together.
Strangely, they won't let me anywhere near a dance line. Seems the world's not ready for the kind of shapes I throw. Do you want a drink?
I'm looking for a friend, but yeah, go on.
I bought Kitty a vodka and slimline, and it was only polite to refuel my own.
Cheers.
Cheers. Is it a man?
Sorry?
The friend.
Oh, no, it's Josie, the swing captain.
I know. I say no. We had a brief chat in here.
Today?
No, first day of rehearsals.
Oh.
She mainly came over to renew her acquaintance with Ken.
Wonder where they'd met.
Well, I got the impression Ken wasn't too sure either. Josie said it was in LA, but he didn't seem to remember.
She did go out there about 10 years ago.
When she was Willow Green.
What?
Isn't that the name she was using back then?
Oh, new one on me. I'll have to ask her about that, if she ever bothers to turn up.
What time are you meeting?
We're not...
Well, I thought...
I've not seen her all day, and I thought she might be in here.
Well, what about rehearsals?
Exactly. I had to stand in for her today. She didn't even call in sick, and her phone just goes to voicemail.
She's probably gone for a sneaky casting. We've all done it.
No, Josie's incredibly professional.
That put me in my place.
It's more likely to be a bloke. Bit of a roller coaster love life, our Josie. Bad chooser.
Well, if I see her, I'll let you know.
All right. Let me give you my number.
Maria. Kitty left the pub with that ramrod foot flicky walk only dancers can carry off. I finished my scotch, then finished another, and was fast approaching the drinker's event horizon when... Charles Paris School of Spiritual Enlightenment.
Charles, Electra.
Oh, hi. I was going to call you to say how sorry I am.
Aw, that's nice, Charles, but we both know I won't be playing the grieving widow.
Yeah.
So, can we meet?
Meet?
For a drink.
Sure. When did you...
How about now?
Yeah. Now's good. On my way to meet Electra, I noticed more of Gloria's handiwork. Ken's superfan had propped a laminated headshot of her idol outside the festival playhouse. Against a fierce easterly, she doggedly lit and relit tea lights. Sisyphus in a plastic rain cape.
Help yourself to champagne.
A half-empty bottle of Clicquot was slumped in an ice bucket.
And pour one for me.
Our last meeting had been in the Grand Hotel's Sea View Bar. This time, we were in Electra's suite. The decor was a Trump voter's idea of sumptuous. So, I guess, Trumptuous.
Sorry to keep you.
Electra came out of the bedroom dressed in black. These weren't widow's weeds. The style was boudoir meets crematorium, and the signals she sent were very much Chapel of Unrest.
Thanks for coming.
Cheers.
You spoke to the cops?
I was the one who found Ken.
Oh, of course, the first person on the scene.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, Ken called me just after 2:30, and it took me 20 minutes or so to get down to the beach, so who knows how many people walked past and thought he was just a drunk.
They'd have been right.
Morning didn't become Electra.
Margate is no Venice Beach. Who walks through the surf at 2 a.m. in November?
Fair point. Any idea why he started drinking again?
No, he was destined to start again. Guys like Ken always are. So, who do you think did it?
Well, I really have no idea. You knew Ken better than me.
Oh, here. Open another one.
Already impaired by a migraine-inducing mix of scotch and fizz, I knew a runaway train when I saw it, and I knew I had to uncouple myself from this one ASAP.
You not having any?
I'll catch up.
What about people in the company? Had Ken pissed anyone off? I mean, more than he pissed off everyone.
Well, not that I noticed. In fact, I'd say he went out of his way to be modest, you know, one of the gang.
Now I know you're joking.
No, I mean it.
Oh, he was playing you, Charles. Ken was a manipulator. That humble routine wouldn't have lasted.
Well, he could be a little intense.
Mind games.
I thought he was just taking his work seriously.
God forbid I should talk ill of the dead, but sooner or later you'd have seen the real Ken. Trust me, for your sake, it's as well he died when he did.
I'd hate to be around when you do speak ill of the dead.
I'm not a hypocrite, so sue me. Come on, no hard feelings. To Ken.
Ken.
Have I redeemed myself in those blue eyes?
Well, they're teal, and who am I to judge?
Cute.
No sooner had we drained our glasses than Electra filled them again. This was a real ice bucket challenge.
I just want to know who the bastard was that killed him before I did. Joke, Charles.
One of the actors told me there's a lot of internet chatter.
Oh, when isn't there? Say apples are better than pears and a troll starts typing in Mama's basement.
Word is it was a mafia hit.
In Margate?
Exactly what I said. Did Ken have any criminal connections?
An alcoholic with a coke habit and a taste for crystal meth. Let me think.
So he may have got involved with some iffy characters here in the UK.
Iffy? If iffy means crooks, then yeah. More likely he'd have got Larry the lapdog to do it for him. What kind of a man lets himself be pushed around like that?
You're not a fan of Larry's management style.
Manager? Would your manager run around the street scoring dope for you?
Morris isn't that kind of streetwise. He's very much a white-collar criminal.
When Ken said jump, Larry jumped. But that's what he was paid for, and he was paid well.
Mm. Last time you and I met here, you were arranging to meet Ken that night.
So?
How did that go?
I clarified my conditions of divorce. I told him he may as well call off his attack lawyers. I'm younger, healthier, and always play a long game, so I will get what I want.
How did Ken respond?
Well, at least he didn't cry this time.
And after that, he left here and hit the source.
I'm not taking the rap for Ken's lack of self-control. I'm well aware that I've drunk a lot more champagne than you, but the difference between me and Ken is that I remain in full control at all times.
Yes, I don't doubt it. Do you know if he went on to meet anyone else that evening?
Why would I? You want to know what I think happened to Ken? Some people are drawn to the dark side, and when people hide in the shadows, something in the shadows will come for them. I had to say that in a bad remake of a worse movie.
Sorry, I should have known you.
No, you shouldn't. I was an actress, past tense. Then I hit 30 and became invisible overnight.
Not to Ken.
Eh, it was a buyer's market. How about you, Charles?
Me?
Am I invisible to you?
Oh, well...
I'd say not, from the way you've been straining to keep your eyes on face level.
You know, you're really quite scary.
Oh, good. So tell me, how do you feel about shallow, meaningless sex?
I won't pretend I wasn't flattered, tempted even. But then I experienced what I can only describe as a revelation. The image of a wreath floated into my head. Not an intimation of mortality, but the festive wreath Frances hangs on her front door every year. And in that moment, I remembered how upset she'd been about the family not coming for Christmas. How could I add to her woes?
I wouldn't have said it if I hadn't meant it. I know. But it'd just be me and Charles, and he's in Panto. So he'll only be here on Christmas Day.
Oh, the spectre at the feast.
Please say yes. We'll get drunk as skunks and have some fun. Mm. It'll be like student days, with osteoporosis. Great. Yeah. Speak soon. Bye. Bye.
What's all this?
Izzy.
Izzy and Merlin?
It's now Izzy without Merlin.
She was always too good for that pretentious git.
He died yesterday.
Oh.
Massive heart attack.
Ah.
While screwing Izzy's Pilates instructor.
And they say Pilates isn't strenuous.
He was 60, she was 22.
Well, if you've got to go.
It's not funny.
No.
Izzy's completely cut up.
I bet.
All on her own.
Right.
With Christmas coming up.
I can see where this is going.
It is a time of giving.
Presumably what Merlin told the Pilates teacher shortly before she gave him a coronary.
I was planning a full house, and as the family have bumped us, it'll be fun to entertain.
I can entertain you.
I won't even entertain the sort of entertainment you've got in mind.
Best not. You're right. Izzy's great. It'll be fun. Oh, it's me. Hello. Speaking? I'm back in London. Of course. 1 o'clock's fine. Okay, bye. The cops want another chat about Ken. Why do they always make me feel like I've done something wrong?
If I'd lived your life, I'd be in a constant state of guilt.
Next day, we rehearsed all morning. Then at lunchtime, I grabbed a bacon roll and a coffee and bowled over to see DCI Naylor.
I hope you don't mind me eating, but we don't get much lunch break and I've spent all morning working up a bit of business with a speciality dog act.
You carry on. Congratulations, by the way.
Sorry?
I heard you'd been promoted.
Oh, hardly promoted.
You've been given the part that was Mr. Polizzi's.
Not another one hinting that I'd kill someone for a part.
Ah, yes. Before we start, we've spoken to everyone in the company except a girl called, Josie.
Josie, the swing captain.
You don't know where she might be?
No. But one of the other dancers was looking for her last night, a girl called Kitty. I've got her number on my phone. Here you go.
Thanks. I'll try her. Now, Mr. Paris, drugs.
Not for me, thanks. I get acid flashbacks if I suck a Strepsil.
You said Mr. Polizzi had an alcohol problem. Do you know if that extended to other addictions?
I couldn't say.
He told you all about his drinking. Did he ever mention drugs?
Well, if he mentioned them, I never witnessed him taking any.
Ken was dead, but his manager was very much alive, and I didn't feel it was for me to point the finger of suspicion at Larry. DCI Naylor could work that one out for herself.
Do you know if Mr. Polizzi owned a gun?
I believe he had quite a collection back in the States.
You don't know if he'd acquired one over here?
No.
Well, I didn't. I had seen Larry hand Ken a gun-sized package, but that didn't mean there was a gun inside it. Could have been something innocent, like Class A drugs. Then again, it could have been drugs and a gun.
We're still looking for the weapon.
It's probably at the bottom of the sea.
Why do you say that?
I assume the killer would have chucked it out as far as possible.
The finger I was trying not to point at others was now pointing at me.
I mean, if I'd shot someone, which I didn't, but if I had, which I haven't...
No one's accusing you.
All I meant was I'd dispose of the gun quickly. Wouldn't you?
It may have been the bacon roll, or the interview, or an unholy combination of the two, but something had given me terrible indigestion, so I hurried back to my dressing room for a stomach-soothing tincture.
Oh. Hang on! Yep.
Kitty.
Looks like we've both been promoted.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but I'm the new swing captain.
What about Josie?
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. It's been a long day and we're only halfway through.
Something's wrong. Josie would never go off without a word. Her phone goes straight to voicemail. Her panda's gone.
What?
She's got a lime green panda.
Oh, God. I had a weird image.
I thought maybe I was overreacting when I told the police, but they're taking it seriously and treating her as a missing person.
When did you last see her?
The day we all worked late. Josie was coming to mine for a takeaway. I fancied Indian, but she was in a Chinese mood, so we agreed to split the difference and go for Thai.
Food ethnicity aside, Kitty had flicked a switch and an old-fashioned valve flickered inside my head. She was describing the day Ken fell off the wagon, the same day I found him dead on the beach.
Josie said she had something to do and was going to come on after, but she never turned up.
My analog brain was slow to warm up, but the synapses had started firing.
Did she say what it was she had to do?
No, I don't think so. Why?
She didn't say she was going to meet Ken.
No, but anyway, nobody knew where he'd gone.
As far as we know.
Charles?
What?
Well, Josie had her demons, but she wasn't a killer.
I didn't say she was.
But it was too late. Kitty had used the K word and set me wondering if we were rehearsing a panto or in the middle of a murder mystery.
In episode 2 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Danny was Sean Baker, Electra, Lorelei King, Tad, Sam Ricks, Kitty, Kirsty Oswald, DCI Naylor, Claire Perkins, and the barman, Tom Forrester. The Cinderella Killer was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.